was like down to like 100 pounds. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. There was strange movements happening in my body, legit. Like I'm telling you, it was
demonic.
That
is so demonic. Fear is demonic.
It is so demonic.
It is.
I was healed from my body, but the torment remained. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like sifting through this crap. And I was like, what the heck is going on?
I hate fear.
Yeah.
I will never be led by fear ever again.
If we can grow, that's all I'm looking for. It's mm-hmm. like, let's see where we can grow instead of, you know, just continue on this decline of allowing fear and emotions to take the lead. I was talking to Jonathan because I was like really heavy into the word, and I started getting this obsession with like the blood of Christ and like how powerful it was. It triggered my thought process to like, why the blood? Why did Jesus like pick the blood? And he's like, you're ready. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you're ready to preach. And I was like, yes.
Hey guys, I do not want you to miss this episode of the Purdue Podcast because I had the great honor of sitting and having a conversation with my friend, my new friend, pastor and evangelist, Adalys Shuttlesworth. We talked about practical ways to make friends, how to get connected in your church. We talked about her journey, how she got into ministry, and just what that looked like. And it was just a great conversation. So get ready. I don't want you to miss it. And let's just dive right in. Hello, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast. I'm so excited for this episode. You have absolutely no idea. This is my new friend.
Hello.
Pastor and evangelist, Adalys Shuttlesworth. And you are going to be so blessed. You're going to be so blessed. I think you don't realize how big of a miracle it is that she is sitting across the table from me, but it is nonetheless. So
I appreciate it. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. So how I found you was on Instagram.
Okay.
In like 2022. And I just loved you right away because you shoot it straight. Mm-hmm. And you know,
not a lot of people like that, so thank you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Christian women that I think are not like us,
right?
You know, they're not.
No,
they're just very I don't know, not real. I feel like I'm not real polished. I feel like you're probably a lot more polished than I am, but
I can shock you. Stick around.
Okay, so I want you to, so you're pastor, mm-hmm. but did you start out as an evangelist?
Yes.
Okay.
So back in 2006, Jonathan and I got married, mm-hmm. and we went full out in to evangelism. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we launched our ministry, was evangelism. He's never, ever once felt called to go into pastoral. Actually, we've had ample opportunity between these years of 2006 to when did we launch the church?
Was it 2020 during COVID?
It was the year after.
Okay.
So I think we announced it in 2021.
Okay.
And then our first opening day was 2022, December 31st or something like that. Or January 1st.
Yeah.
I could be getting the dates mixed up, that's but who cares? Right. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it like flies by.
So from 2006 to 2021, Jonathan was like dead set not to go and be a pastor. So we've had ample opportunity, lots and lots of invitations throughout the years to be a youth pastor or a young adult pastor or an associate pastor.
Yeah.
And it just never sat right.
Yeah.
But of course, 2020 hit and everything just kind of went crazy.
Yeah, it did.
We were ushered out of our church, our home church.
What?
Oh, well, because we took a stand.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
You have to tell me what that was about.
So
spill the tea.
What happened was that Jonathan was very adamant about the fact that the government was hoodwinking us.
Yeah.
There's no other way of putting it. It was like there was something, and everybody could sense that there was like something that was not right.
Yeah.
And so the moment they decided to close churches is when he went fully against, like, you know, the tyrannical overreach and, you know, the government overreach or whatever. And so he started preaching about that. Now, at the time, we had our YouTube channel and we had a program that we would put through Facebook and all these other lives, Periscope. I mean, we were back in the day, we'd be like on all of the platforms, right? And so he took a stand and he was just saying like, please don't change or don't close the church. And so he said of a couple of other things that weren't He didn't take the diplomatic approach. He was very rough around the edges. He said something like, if you shut down your church, please be sure to grab your balls out of your purses, out of your wife's purse, or something like that.
I love that.
You can splice that up. You can cut that up however you want.
No, it's fine.
But it was something like that. So people weren't happy, okay? Yeah. And I understand. Maybe he could have, you know, made it a little bit nicer.
No, you know what? Here's the thing. We're all people, even Christians. And I love that both of you guys say what everybody is thinking.
Right.
Like, we're all thinking it. And thank God somebody is bold enough to stand up and say it. And
right.
then you can tell that it's the truth because look at the following.
Yeah, right.
You have fruit. All these people that are like, yes, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's necessary in the day that we live in. 100%. We can't just be vague about the approach anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we have like... You know, everybody's come out the closet. Everybody's just parading the sin and the, mm-hmm. you know, the perversion. And it's like the church is kind of like just backed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in these last days, you've got to stand up for what you believe in. And it can't be like a cutesy little thing. It mm-hmm. has to be strong.
Yeah.
But I say all that to say that it was during this time that Jonathan was kind of like open to the idea of a church, but he was still kind of like, and then on New Year's Eve, 2021, the Lord said, build me a strong church in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And we just took off. Cause awesome. Like in 2020, I was like, maybe we can do this. Maybe we should do this. But he got the word of the Lord, thankfully. And then we just launched into a church. And so it was just interesting to see that, like how God just continued to kind of like open up doors just based on the capacity. Like he knew that we were ready to enter into this new thing.
Yeah.
And so why did I even get there? What was the question? I don't even know. What were you talking about?
How did you guys do the church? How did you get I think you
Yeah, so this is how we got to this church.
This is a girl conversation.
Yeah.
This is just the way it is. It's like this.
Yeah, it is.
So you have to follow.
And if you know me, you're gonna know that I just forget mid sentence what I'm talking about. So just reel me in. But anyway, so it's been this process and the Lord has really like opened up doors for us to have a church. Yeah. So we launched in Pittsburgh and then the Lord told Jonathan, Fort Worth is the next campus, mm-hmm. and then California, and now we've got Arizona.
Four.
Wow. Four, yeah.
L.A., did you say that?
California, yes.
Oh, California.
So it used to be in L.A., now it's in Santa Ana. It's about an hour away.
That is amazing.
So it's been great.
What is that like? Crazy. Did you have any schooling on how to start a church, how to be a pastor, how to do any of that?
Not.
So what did you do?
Just relied on the Holy Spirit. You know, this year, yeah, exactly. This year I've been kind of like with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I want everybody to know like how important it is for you to fine tune
your
relationship with the Holy Ghost because he really does help us. Mm-hmm. And there's things that I've been doing with the leadership and our team. We've got an incredible team at Revival
Makes
today.
It makes all the difference.
It does. And we've been stepping into uncharted territory because mm-hmm. it's just a motley crew of people that have come, you know, and we don't really know what we're doing, but mm-hmm. we rely on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've seen to be true is that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost mm-hmm. and you're listening to his voice and you're obedient to his voice, he just makes the process so easy. I say all that to say, we took a course last year and it was a leadership course and it's a secular course.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of are talking you through all the things that you should be doing. Well, I'm looking at our team and I'm like, we've already done that.
Yes.
And we didn't even know.
Isn't that so awesome?
Exactly. So I'm like, thank God for the Holy Spirit.
I know. Yeah. No, I feel the same way about when Aaron and I took over the youth like 2 years ago. I'm like, I don't have a clue. And I wasn't a systems person like Kevin's wife. Kevin's over there. He's mm-hmm. helping with production. But she's a very, thank God for her. Her name's Chrissy. And she's very system.
Makes sense.
Yeah. She's
a good
systems
one.
And operations and all of that. And I'm like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. So she's helped me a lot. But just the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the kind of church you want. You don't want a church built. This is the problem. We have too many seeker-sensitive churches.
Mm.
We've got too many copy paste, copy paste, copy paste, copy paste, and they don't even invite the Holy Spirit in.
No.
They're like, Holy Spirit, who?
Right.
You know, and then they're multiplying, and I don't even know what they're creating. Maybe converts, but not disciples.
No.
I don't see anybody having signs, wonders, and miracles, and that's supposed to follow us, sure. Right?
Yeah. I can tell you, I didn't grow up in the religious circle, mm-hmm. in the religious bubble. Obviously, you're like, yeah, no kidding. But what I see is that a lot of churches have kind of like run away from the Holy Spirit because I won't say that they're embarrassed, but kind of, you know?
Yes, they are.
And I grew up not in this like beautiful like system. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's what's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, like if you were raised in a background where it was void of the Holy Spirit and mm-hmm. and anything church related, like you know what it's like to live apart from Christ.
Yes,
and it's
exactly.
terrible. It mm-hmm. sucks.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why anybody would try to like keep the Holy Spirit from people, because that's the very source of power that's gonna break people free. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like if people are going through some crazy things, and I feel like a lot of churches, just because they kind of get stuck in this system and this mode, we forget how bad the world is.
Uh-huh.
We forget like all the crap that people have to sift through.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the betterment of like looking the part and not being too in your face, or we don't want to preach hell and the whatever, you know.
The it's truth.
Like, yeah, the truth. Uh-huh. To not be so confrontational. Mm-hmm. It's like you're stripping people of the very power that's necessary to get them out of those conditions.
It's so deceived.
And yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And so you know, obviously, if you know anything about Jonathan's ministry, we don't tiptoe around, you know, the truths found in the Bible. This mm-hmm. is the very source of life.
Yeah.
And it's foundational for living a life that's worth living.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. And I, you know, as you're saying that, I did grow up in a church. I was wild. It wasn't a spirit-filled church. So it was just kind of dead religion. And I was like, every single week it was like, you need to get born again. If you know, you need to repent. So it was like, repent, go up to the front, feel sorry, cry, go back to your seat, live like hell all week, and then repent, go back to your seat. Like no power, no overcoming, no nothing.
Totally.
But then after I moved out of that later on in life, you know, I was always scared of what people thought about me, and I didn't even realize it. Like just very fear of man.
Yes.
And so I kind of brought that into my relationship with God when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, because I was that person. I did not.
When was that?
I was 25.
Okay.
So I'm 40 now. I was married before for 7 years. And when we first got married, I met my first husband in a bar.
Okay.
And, that was a struggle.
Yeah.
And we both were idiots. Like we had no idea what we're doing. So it was like strife constantly. I used to blame it all on him, but now I've realized that, maybe I had a lot to do with it actually.
Sure.
But so after we were married, I was like, I don't know what this getting filled with the Holy Spirit is, but I know marriage isn't easy and I need all the help a sister can get,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so, but I was scared to pray in tongues in front of people. I didn't do that. So I just kind of left that on the shelf. But then later on, my husband ended up passing away of cancer.
I'm sorry.
I know. And then, I was like, you know, I'm going all in for God.
Yeah.
Like life is short and I've done it my way and it sucks.
Yeah.
Like I'm tired of being miserable.
That's it.
Just entrenched in sin, can't get out of it. I've just got to lay it down. Mm. I got to lay it all down and just submit to him.
Wow.
So I moved here and I met Aaron. I have a point to this whole story about fear of men. Right. So I met Aaron. Doctorate degree in music, flute player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, who? A man that plays the flute. I don't know about that.
Right.
And it was just so funny. You know, how shallow can mm-hmm. one be?
Right.
But I never wanted to get married again. But I thought if I do get married, he's going to be tall, dark, handsome, has guns, like goes hunting, fishing, outdoorsman, because that's how my first husband was.
Sure.
And I thought, God, how jacked up my thinking was.
Right.
Like, that's a man.
Right.
But that's not a man.
Mm-hmm.
A man is somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit, who's godly, who knows how to treat a woman right, the way that God, you know, wants. So anyway, I just saw Aaron and I'm like, he is so secure in himself. because he loves the Lord and he is completely sold out to God. And he's doing his thing. He's playing his flute. He's doing all the things. And he doesn't give a rip.
Right.
And I see God work in his life and how much peace he has. And I'm like, I want that. Like, yeah. How can I get that? And he was like, well, you got to quit caring about what other people think. Because I have a plan for you. But you're never going to enter into it if you can't just shut up and right. lay your life down. You know?
That's good.
So now I pray in tongues. I don't care who's around. I don't care. I will lay my hands on you.
Good.
You know?
Yeah, like, that's awesome.
So I don't know. I don't know how I got into that.
Well, I think churches. It's just organically churches and all that kind of yeah. stuff. When I launched into the pulpit ministry, mm-hmm. I was in the same kind of boat as, yeah. as you. I knew coming into the ministry that it was something that God called me to. I was in Bible school.
Yeah.
And then I met Jonathan and then we got married and we just went straight into full-time ministry, evangelistic ministry. And in my head, mm-hmm. I knew what was right.
Yeah.
Right? So I knew what I was called to do.
Yeah.
But on the outside, it wasn't matching up. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was like, if I'm going to compare myself, because that's what we do
yeah.
when there's fear of man. It's like mm-hmm. we're constantly comparing exactly ourselves right. yeah. with other people. Mm-hmm. And then when we don't meet that standard, we're like, forget it. This just isn't. And so what ends up happening is that you could either just kind of buck against it, push against it, mm-hmm. and then you're just kind of perpetually living in fear.
Yes.
Or what other people do is that they compare themselves mm-hmm. and then they just pretend.
Yes.
And so it's inauthentic.
Yes.
It's fake. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I was just living under that fear because one of my biggest fears was to be inauthentic and
yes,
fake. I'm like, I'm not
same.
Fake, you
yes,
know?
Yes, yes.
So
I would rather.
Yeah, I'd yeah. rather just be in the background. I'd rather not
forget
do
it. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's during these 10 years. Okay, I got married in 2006 and now I'm 10 years later. Mm-hmm. I've got Camila and now I'm pregnant with my second baby.
Yeah.
And the Lord already spoke to me before I met Jonathan that mm-hmm. I was called to evangelism in America.
Yeah.
In a platform ministry. I had dreams. Mm-hmm. My youth pastor at the time, he confirmed those dreams. He's like, I had a dream. I was like, get out of here. And so I'm like, this is happening. God's confirming his word.
Yeah.
And I was still a baby Christian, you know, and I'm kind of sifting through and I'm like, okay, this is the Lord. He's getting my attention. So I'm fully in ministry and I'm stepping into it. And again, what I'm seeing is not matching. Yeah. Right. And so now I'm going to different churches and they're like, so who are you? And I'm like, I'm this Puerto Rican from Boston. I don't know what to tell you. What do you do? That was the next question.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, and it was an immediate cutoff. It's like, oh, you don't sing? You don't preach? You don't yeah. do? So what is it that you do? Why yeah. are you with him? And so that just kind of began to kind of torment me in my head
yeah.
a little bit. And I was like, yeah, why am I here?
Like
he chose wrong.
Yeah.
yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, he could have married this white girl, this blonde chick or something. And she could have just walked it out with him, you know?
Yeah.
And here I am. I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah.
And so for years and years, that was what I've trained my mind to believe. And I'll tell you what, the word of God is so powerful because
yes.
it tells us you've got to renew your
yes,
mind
you
daily.
Do.
You've
yes.
got to wash your mm-hmm. your brain with the word of God.
Yes.
That's my rendition. But, you know, so I wasn't doing that. I was yeah. going, I was clocking in service to service uh-huh. and I was busy doing whatever I needed to do,
yeah.
but I wasn't prioritizing the spirit. I wasn't uh-huh. prioritizing the word. I wasn't prioritizing yeah. my relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And so therein began the slow, you know, the slow, what is the word that I'm looking for?
Growth?
No, the opposite of growth.
Oh,
I want to say degradation,
shrinking?
But it just started kind of all encompassing. My relationship with him started to disintegrate.
Disintegrate. Oh, yeah, that's good.
And my faith and the purpose that God, it just, everything started, I started complaining. I was never one to complain.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it was forced, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, why do I feel this way? Like, yeah. I should be happy in this. Like, yes. we're growing exponentially, Jonathan's ministry, everything's great. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like there's a big, giant hole, yeah. you know?
Yes.
And so I was pregnant with my second child, and I lost the baby while we were on the road. And so that was like this, it kind of like opened up a door for fear to come in. Like
I've
never
fear.
Seen it before. But it's that thing that I've realized now that I was afraid of man. I was afraid mm-hmm. of people commenting and yeah. thinking like, look at her, she's got red lipstick. And look at her giant hoop earrings. And you know, like, yeah. because I thought as a minister's wife, you had to fit this mold. You know, and I didn't fit that mold.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, so if I'm not going to fit that mold, then I'm just going to run away from that as yeah. far as possible.
Uh-huh.
But little did I know, you know, obviously I know that now being a student of the word, that God wants to use you. He wants yes. to use your voice. He wants mm-hmm. to use all of those little, you know, nerdy, geeky tendencies that you think are annoying. He loves them. He loves your sense of humor. He yeah. loves your voice. And so all of this just kind of like, you know, was brought to light after this attack on my body.
Yeah.
But I do believe that that was an open door for the enemy to come in and you know, just overwhelm me with the spirit of fear.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it was the spirit of fear.
Uh-huh.
And for
oh, it's
probably,
a spirit, all right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Probably like a solid year, I was like undergoing a lot of like mental yeah. torment and, you know, for
well,
6 months.
In the grief of anytime you suffer a loss, I
all
know,
that,
like
yeah.
that, it's demonic.
It really
and Jesus
is.
Jesus bore our griefs.
Yes.
He really did.
Yeah. And I'm sure you know, like
yeah,
to have it, that kind
I
of
went
like
nuts.
A, yeah.
I remember I sat at my kitchen table after my husband it's like I dealt, you know, they say that there's like different stages of grief, mm-hmm. like there's anger and all that. I think I dealt with all of them at once, but I was so pissed. I remember just sitting at my kitchen table with a bottle of liquor
yeah.
and I was, and my kid was in daycare. Yeah. I had Fisher was only three. Thank God for Fisher. He really right. kept me on the rails. Like yeah. I was trying to get off of them, but, mm-hmm. and I would just sit there and drink like, and take Xanax and just do all the things to try to get out of that.
Yes.
You know? Cause I was like 7 years of my life and now this is gone. And for what? Like right. I have nothing. Like the enemy just tried to get in my head, you know?
Definitely.
But, thank God for the Holy Spirit. I was involved in a lot of crap sin that I had no business being in.
Right.
And I had a lot of anxiety because of it. Because when you are knowingly in sin, mm-hmm. you're going to reap the repercussions.
Definitely.
Anxiety, fear, depression, all that. And God showed me. I was at the kitchen sink doing dishes. He showed me like a triangle. And he was like, sin equates to anxiety, shame, and you retreat. And your sin... anxiety, shame, and it's like a cycle.
Definitely.
And he showed me that you can actually break out of that cycle. You just stop sinning.
Right. Isn't that something?
But the enemy thinks, I mean, thank God I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I knew that I did have the power. Sin does not have power over me.
That's right.
But he showed me like the you know, the cycle of it. And I'm like, who wants that?
Right.
And I was like, I got to get out of here.
Yes.
I got to flee.
Yes.
And so I did. I moved here and I quit all of that. And it's so crazy because I was smoking cigarettes every day, mm-hmm. like in my garage, hoping yeah. nobody would see me. And when I left Tennessee, July 20th, 2018, I was done with all that.
Wow.
And I never dealt with any type of withdrawals. I had been on Xanax for a couple of years
mm-hmm.
and I would take them every 4 hours, like, because I just didn't want to deal with anything.
That's crazy.
But I still had them
right.
in my glove box in my car just in case. I was right. telling somebody this the other day. And then when Aaron and I started dating, I was sick and he was cleaning out my car and he threw them away.
Yeah.
And I didn't think he knew what it was. He's always been a good,
right.
I want to say a good kid.
Right.
You know. And I just was looking to see if they were in there one day because they were like, you know, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And they were gone. And I was so mad at him. But I knew he did the right thing. You know?
Definitely.
Like, don't throw away somebody's medication and have my name on it. Are you kidding me? He was like, you don't need that.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you're right, I did it. So anyway, God helped me heal
yeah.
from that. And
Yeah, it's
what
it's
happened?
It's
I ran off.
No,
again.
I'm sorry. It's this fact that like when I was undergoing all that, mm-hmm. the very first thing I wanted to do was like drink. Because yes. that's what I came out of.
Yes.
Right? And so I'm like, I would kill right now for just like cold Heineken or something. You know, I was like, because the when it comes to fear and torment, mm-hmm. it's almost like this perpetual thing. There's no relief from it.
That's right.
And so you're looking for an out. I didn't smoke weed, but I'm like, a blunt would sound so yeah. good right now. Because anything. Just like pacify the thoughts that are mm-hmm. going through my head and yeah. this grief and the loneliness that yes. you feel, this darkness that's like literally overwhelming you. And so it's at my couch when I was in Oakdale, Pennsylvania. I'm sitting in my couch and I'm thinking like, no wonder people do this. Mm-hmm. Like it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't have the anchor that I have found yeah. in Christ, uh-huh. I would have gone berserk.
Yes.
Berserko.
Yes.
And so now it just gives you a little bit more compassion for people that are out there struggling like that. Because yes. it's like, what else do you have? Uh-huh. If you don't have Christ, how are you gonna make it yeah. through?
Yes.
But I'm telling you right now, the answer is Jesus.
It is.
And the only way to get out of that hole of fear, depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. is to, first of all, develop your relationship with Christ.
Yes.
Accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life.
Yeah, for sure.
Develop that relationship found in his word, because mm-hmm. John 1:1 says the word of God is God.
It is, yeah.
So when we are reading the word, we're getting to know his nature mm-hmm. and we're getting to know our nature.
Yeah.
Because we were created yes. in his image. And that therein lied for me the overwhelming freedom.
Yes.
It was like, I am not my thoughts.
Yes, amen.
I am not who other people say I am. Mm-hmm. I am what he tells me yes. that I am. And so now I've got to train my mind to believe that this is true.
Yes.
Because it's like you. Like, uh-huh. you always thought you had to sin. You uh-huh. always thought that I have to fall back on these things because that's what you were trained yep. to do until you got revelation from God.
Oh, I know.
And then
the word.
In that, it sets you free
yes.
because it's the knowing of the truth in and of itself
yeah, you have to
does
know.
Not set you free.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
It's the knowing of it for yourself.
Yes.
So I can't tell you, I can't force you to eat this.
Yep.
You've got to taste and see for yourself.
You do. And that's what our scripture for our youth is, Romans 12:2. Don't yeah. be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because it's all your victory in Christ. If you want to live a good life, that's what it's wrapped up in.
That's right.
If you don't renew your mind. And sometimes I just want to grab somebody by the head.
Girl.
And be like, can you just.
Every day.
I know.
Every day in my life.
I'm like, could you just listen to me or just stop complaining
right.
and listen to me?
Or just stop, period.
Yeah.
This is the thing with you. You stop sinning.
Yes.
Jesus Christ didn't show up to your house and stop you from taking that vodka or whatever it
That's
is.
Right.
You know, you decided like, I'm going to never do this again. Mm-hmm. If this is the way out, then I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
And I've got to structure my life. And I think with charismatics and evangelical Christian, I think we've lost a lot of the responsibility. It's uh-huh. always like in his sovereignty,
if he wants it done.
Yeah. And it's like, no, like we are conduits.
Yes.
We are the people, we are his hands. Mm-hmm. Like T.L. Osborne said,
yes,
we are his hands. We are his feet. We are his voice. Mm-hmm. God has no other hands but our hands.
That's
he
right.
has no other feet but our feet. He has no other voice
That's
but
right.
our voice. Mm-hmm. And so that changes the game, mm-hmm. hopefully, for yeah. Christians that are like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be waiting for these things. Maybe I should be the one
yes.
going out there and telling my family about Jesus.
Because that's faith.
Yes.
Because when you hear and you do, that's where the power is.
That's right.
And I think people get so frozen from, well, I want to, but what if I fail?
Right.
Like, I wanted, I quit, but in the back of my mind, the devil, of course, kept saying, you're going to do it again. You're going to do it again.
Of course.
You're going to do it again. And even when I moved here, I can't tell you how many times he would be like, nobody knows you here. Go buy a pack of cigarettes.
Right.
But I was afraid that I would burn the whole state down because I don't know if you
it
know. It's really
happened.
Dry.
It would happen. Yeah.
So anyway, but eventually You, the more you do it, the more power you build up.
That's it.
Against that stronghold. That's good. Because the stronghold comes down. It's just, the stronghold is just a wrong way of thinking. Mm. So if you're renewing your mind, the stronghold goes away.
That's right.
But you have to make the decision first.
And I love that you said, it's not about just hearing it, but yeah. about doing it.
Yeah.
And when you hear and do, power is ignited.
Yes. Faith works.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing. They're missing that power element. Mm-hmm. But the power comes from you doing it.
Yes.
And so I think for both you and I, we started coming to that reality and we started walking in it, as difficult as that might be.
Yeah.
My first preaching gig was 2016 at my sister-in-law's church.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, I was fully in. In fact,
did your media team show a clip of that?
Yes,
I saw that. Yep. Yeah.
It was in 2019, not 2019. What year it was? 2015, when I miscarried.
Uh-huh.
In January of 2026, 2016, I opened up Andrew Womack's book, A Better Way to Pray.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love Andrew.
So
thank God for
it. Was I was healed from my body, but the torment remained. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like sifting through this crap. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, I don't like this. I don't like being in a state of perpetual fear and anxiety. I was like down to like 100 pounds.
Oh my
couldn't
God.
Eat, couldn't sleep. There was strange movements happening in my body. Legit.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm telling you, it was
that
demonic.
Is so demonic. Fear is demonic.
It is so demonic.
It is.
Like, I started, my spine started reverberating in my sleep. I kid you not. And maybe it, like, I don't know if this
it was
is like
a manifestation of fear.
It was. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. So I opened up this book. And he's saying there's a better way to pray. Because I was like, I don't have enough faith. I definitely don't have enough faith. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. And one of the things that he said in his book was, he pointed out to that scripture that says, we've all been given a measure of faith.
Yes, you've already got it.
We already have it. And so for whatever reason, that I could have shut that book. And just, it clicked with me and it set me free.
Yes.
And it was, that began my journey with the love for the word. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if he got that from just this one simple Bible verse, and it set me all the way free, because I know I'm no longer coming from a position of victim or like, I need this, please give it to me. Uh-huh. If it's already in me, what else do I have that's in me that I'm not knowledgeable about?
Yeah, it's like having a gun.
Yes.
And not ever using it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not even understanding how many bullets are in there.
Right.
Or exactly knowing how to pull the trigger.
Uh-huh.
So it's like you've got everything you need to kill the enemy.
Yep.
But you've got this piece of metal that you don't even know how to like aim or hold.
Uh-huh.
You know? And so it was one of those things that in my life, there hasn't been many like aha moments, like really deep rhema words, you know, but that was one. Mm. And he used that man. And I'm telling you, from 2015 till today, I've been obsessed with Andrew Womack and just been like listening to things because, you know, his approach is just so basic, you know, like most people can't grab hold of his teaching because he's so like, you know, very monotone and just like, But I'll tell you, that man is full of wisdom and it
and
really,
you know what? Have you ever met him?
Never.
You get, what you see is what you get with him.
Of course.
The way, he is the sweetest, just most genuine person. And I know you've probably met plenty of ministers, as I have, and sometimes you're like,
yes.
I wish I didn't know you.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
But anyway, he's great. And I, if it weren't for him, my mom just happened to see him on television.
Yeah.
When I was like 16. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit in her house. We went to a little Baptist church.
Wow.
So she's like, what is this? And then, you know, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here.
That's
and then
wild.
I ended up going to his Bible college. But, like, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God for the word.
Exactly.
And you know what? It's simple.
It
like
is.
If he can do it for Andrew, he can do it for you.
No
he can
question.
Do it for me.
No question.
Like,
but it's like, how bad do you want it?
How
and
bad
I think it's
do
like
you want it? Yeah.
That we've just been bought this lie that, like, you know, we're in America. If you've got anxiety, there's a pill for that, you know? So it's just like, there's a remedy outside of the word, but it's not going to bring freedom. It's not going to bring true freedom.
No.
It might bring you relief for a season, but if you link up with Christ and his word, it's a perpetual freedom. And it's like,
it's bondage.
It's the best.
Medicine. I mean, I took medicine for a while. I don't have anything against that, but like there's a better way.
No question.
And to me, it was bondage.
Yeah.
I don't want to come under anything that's going to that be you bondage.
Absolutely. And then it triggers so many different, you know, other problems in your body, because now your body needs this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's just, there's a better way.
There's a better way.
And it's Jesus.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I was talking to Jonathan because I was like really heavy into the word, and I started getting this like obsession with like the blood of Christ and like how powerful it was, because I had undergone like blood issues myself, and I was just, it triggered my thought process to like, what, why the blood? Why did Jesus like pick the blood? And so we were having these like really deep conversations on our car ride to Montreal, and he's like, "You're ready." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "You're ready to preach." And I was like, "Yes." But inside, every part of me was like, "No, I will not do that. Like, I'm so scared." And I grabbed hold of that mic and I did it, and I did it afraid. My knees were knocking and I was just like shaking perpetually. But I did it. And that's one of the things that, like, if you are going, no one said your life in Christianity is going to be easy.
No.
You know, it's going to, you're going to have to make difficult decisions, and you're going to have to push through the fear, even as basic as like getting in front of people and like talking, you know, that might not seem like a big deal, but for me it was, you know?
Oh no, it's,
it's a big deal.
They say that public speaking is the number one fear of people. Public speaking.
Right, exactly.
Like, they'd rather do anything else.
They'd rather die, probably. Yeah. It's like, how is that death not the number one? Public speaking is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you push through and you do what's right. But then once you continue to do that, therein lies the power. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I just did that.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, then I can do this.
Consistency.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's the linking up with the word of God and then doing it that really brings the empowerment. Mm-hmm. And for the women that are watching, that's the secret sauce.
Yes, it is.
That's the whole point. If you are insecure, if you are in a season of fear or what, I won't even say it's a season of fear. If you're tormented by fear and anxiety, you want to get out of it, this is the only way. It's just to walk it out.
Yes.
And I know that sounds so basic and elementary, but that's the only way to get out of that mess is by doing what the Bible tells you to do.
Yeah.
And also what the still small voice of God tells you to do, you know, like for you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Consistently. And you know, in every single arena of your life too.
Definitely.
Like, it's public speaking for you. It was for me. It is excruciatingly painful.
Right.
But the more I did it, the easier it got. And now it's fun.
Yeah.
Because now you get over that, get that fear out of here in Jesus' name.
Exactly.
And then you realize you're working with the Holy Spirit. And so it's fine if you deviate from your notes. Definitely. But some of you have a problem making friends. Let's move to that arena.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's the same way, even making friends. Like, so it's kind of scary at first, but just show up to somebody.
That's
say hello.
Right.
Do you think it was comfortable for me to be like, "Hey, Pastor Adalis, would you like to be on the podcast with me?"
Right.
Like, that's a little, that was a little
been
out of my box. No, let me just, I'm just going to make this so real for these people watching. So it was my idea to invite you guys to church to try to get you guys here. Because I'm like, I want to get the body of Christ so excited to be a believer. And like, how can I do that? We need an evangelist here. Because evangelists are good at like just, you know,
igniting
getting people
fire.
Saved. And yes. And so I, like, once I found out that we had some connections, some people in common, I was like, okay, maybe this could work out. So I pitched it to Pastor Lawson, and I think he reached out to your assistant, maybe.
Yeah.
But it took a couple of weeks for her to get back. And so in that time frame, I was like, you know, this is actually probably a bad idea.
Right.
Because I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I don't know. Like, what if they hate us or just like all the things, right? Fear.
Right, right.
And so I was this close to texting Pastor Lawson and being like, maybe I misheard from God. But I didn't. I mean, I legit had it typed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I did not hear from the Lord. But I didn't send it. And then he was like, well, their assistant never got back, so I think we're just going to move on and invite somebody else or whatever. And then you guys ended up calling us back.
Yeah.
And he calls me. He's like, Heather, you're never going to believe it. She's going to come. I was like, oh, my God. I'm not prepared for this. And so, but anyway, I think it was amazing. Last night was amazing.
It was awesome.
And we have like, I think around 600 or 700 people here.
Amazing.
Chrissy told me we have 700 seats in there and almost all of them were full.
That is awesome.
And just to see all the people that came forward in the time of ministry, it's just
so good.
So, I mean, what a great confirmation, but, do things afraid.
Yes.
When God calls you to do something, just do it.
That's a good word.
I hate fear.
Yeah.
I will never be led by fear ever again.
No, but most people just welcome it. And it's what's robbing them of good relationships.
Yes. And if they could just see into the spirit and see how demonic that stuff is.
It is definitely demonic. I hate fear.
Yeah. So that's how you make friends. It's literally that easy. If I can do it.
It's really, I think we overthink it too as women because we are like hyper emotional, maybe a little bit more sensitive than our male counterparts. But I do believe that we do overthink it, especially in the church realm.
Yes.
The Bible says, show yourself friendly and you'll make friends.
Yes.
That's it.
It's and so that
easy. If you're not, if you don't have friends, I've gotten that question as one of the things in my 19 years of ministry to this day.
Because you do a lot of Q&As too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I'm still looking for meaningful relationships. Maybe you are just now plugged into a church and you're still looking for it. I know what that's like because we've had 4 campuses.
Yeah.
And that remains one of the things that people are kind of like, a little trepidatious about, like, it's like, how do I make friends? Maybe I'm like, you know, I was part in the party scene for so long and now I'm like with this movement and it's like, I don't even know how to function.
Yeah.
But community is really important in a church.
It is.
And that's how you are gonna make friends. Mm-hmm. Making yourself available. This is not rocket science.
Yes.
Make yourself available.
Yes.
Smile and be kind and don't be weird.
Yeah. And if you are weird, just find the other weird person the other out weirdos. There and y'all could be weird together.
But I'm just saying there's a lot of times where it's like, it's like, just don't do that. Like there's just certain things that it's like,
don't
you
pick
know,
your nose.
If you're just going to stare at somebody like that, you know what I'm saying? It's going to weird them out a little bit, you know, hone that in, you know, save the weirdo for later. But, what I find interesting is that the churches really do a great job, or maybe they don't, I don't know. But like for us, we do a really great job cultivating like these avenues. We do our best.
Yeah.
We do our best to try to cultivate like little pockets of like almost like an ecosystem, right?
Yes.
So it's like the big church, right? Mm-hmm. But then we want to also develop friendships and relationships within the body.
So you have Rain.
We have Winning. Rain, yes.
Uh-huh.
We've got Bloom, which is for moms.
Uh-huh.
We've got a gamers club. Okay, so now what we're doing and we're integrating in all of the campuses, it's not just ministry nights, but it's
like
nights
clubs
where,
too.
Exactly, it's like a club. We don't call it a club. I don't know why, but it is. There's a bowling club.
Uh-huh.
We'll just call it a bowling club. There's a gamers club. There's a shooters club.
Mm-hmm.
There's, what other clubs do we have? Hunting club. We've got a softball club. So we've developed like a lot of these like ecosystems, even for the young girls. Like we've got like a girls' night thing where they do movie nights and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
The whole reason for that, we don't do small groups,
uh-huh.
but we do.
It's like fellowship groups.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's, we don't necessarily have to preach,
yeah.
you know, it's just.
Because it's community.
You? Exactly. It's developing the organic conversations that you're going to have with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a gym club, if you want to call it that. We opened up a gym where all the gym rats just get together.
How did you start all of this?
COVID. I started
know, but
that.
Like, did you decide, like, did all of these clubs come together at once? Or
no.
Do you just add them
we
organically
add them
as they came?
Organically can? As people's interests are like, hey, do you guys have this? We're like, no, but we'll look into that.
Yeah. And then you find somebody to,
and
like,
then we start,
kind of oversee that?
Exactly.
Do you have somebody that oversees each one? Or do you have one person that oversees all of them?
We have one person that oversees each one. And then we've got one pastor that's kind of like in the know of all
nice.
Of the clubs.
Yeah.
That when we have discipleship class for the church,
uh-huh.
we offer that to everybody. So it's like the new believer / discipleship classes. Uh-huh. And we let them know, like,
here's your fellowship.
This is what's up. This is what we give
I
you.
Like
this
that.
Is what you can afford. Plug in. These are the days that we do it.
I love that. That is so out of the box.
Yeah. I just, it makes sense to, because it's like, well, it's like very clicky in that church. It's like, yeah, people are just organically going to be clicks.
Yeah,
because they have, if you like to hunt, you're going to find hunters. Mm-hmm. You know, a hunter's not going to necessarily be at a knitting club. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to, like, you know, find fellowship with the people that knit, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that in high school. The drama clubs tend to the jocks with the jocks. So we facilitate, like, the common interests.
Yeah.
And we just, it just, you know, naturally develops, like, friendships within that. But we also do all-night prayer. We do the rain nights. We do all of these other ministry nights where we all get together and we all get to fellowship with one another. So it's not just these clubs and we're like, you stick to your club. No, we also integrate that and we bring them together.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, a good conglomeration
of people. I love that.
Yeah.
Really that is good. So exciting.
But, yeah, don't overthink it and just be kind, you know? Plug into where you have commonalities with other people. Don't force it, and it'll be fine.
It's so funny to me how hard people make things.
It really is.
Legit doesn't have to be that hard.
It's not. One thing I've learned throughout the years is that your mind is your greatest enemy.
Yes.
And it's like if you just allow your brain to just take the lead, you're going to suffer the consequences. That's why we're called to be spirit people, you know, walking in the spirit. Doing things according to the word. Because if you are too logical, you're going to fail. If you're too emotional, you're really going to fail. But walking in the spirit is the sweet spot.
Yes.
And so you're taking your common sense, you're taking the word, and you're taking all of these things and you're putting it with the lens of the word of God.
Yeah.
And it just, it makes life so much easier to navigate through.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And life becomes easy.
And it's fun.
And enjoyable.
Yes.
And fun.
It's
right.
Like your life is supposed to be enjoyable and fun.
Definitely.
Like, what kind of life are you having if you don't have that?
Exactly.
It's
life
terrible.
In abundance comes from doing it the right way.
Yes, John 10:10. And Jesus came to give us an abundant life.
That's right.
Not to take away from us in
any
way. I wish people understood how fun it is to just be a Christian and be able to walk with God and hear his voice.
It's the best.
I wish people just could get that through their head. But while we're on the topic of, like, connections and friendships and stuff like that, I never really had, like, a woman mentor.
Yeah.
But I let the word mentor me.
Yeah.
You know, and I've listened to as much Andrew Womack as I could get.
Same.
Or teachings, like sound teachings, or, like, if there was somebody, like, recently I'm reading a Catherine Coleman book that I absolutely love. Just, so I feel like sometimes women come to me and they're like, I need a mentor. Where can I find a mentor? And I'm like, you have the word.
Right.
But did you have any type of mentor? Like, Pastor Barbara's a mentor to me, but, like, she's my mother-in-law.
Sure.
That's why she's my mentor.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, she can be your mentor if you come to this church. You just listen to her.
Right.
Know?
Exactly.
But what do you think about that?
I'm so I was with you with the sense of, like, I don't really need a mentor because I've got my husband. He's the one that mentors me. He's my covering.
Yeah.
And that's true. But there's just certain elements, even within our own marriage, that I'm not going to be coming to him for. Or, just woman things, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And so throughout the years, I've found little, you know, the Lord has brought me these people, individuals that have you know, they take care that I look up to exactly in ministry that are doing things at a much bigger scale than me. And he's opened up those avenues where if I do have a question, I can take it to them. And so I love having that. But I understand that it's very rare to find somebody that's going to give you sound biblical wisdom. Mm-hmm.
But you probably didn't go looking.
No.
Like, you didn't approach these people and say, will you be my mentor?
Nope.
You know, it's like you were seeking the Lord and he just brought the people into your life.
It's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
No question. Mm-hmm. And I know now we're in this culture of, like, you know, pay for this mentor. Like, if you want this mentorship, you can just, you know, come on along for $199 a month. I don't, you know, spiritual mentorship is
happens
in the
spirit. I do not like
monetizing
the word.
Right.
I don't like that.
Exactly. So it should happen organically.
Yeah.
It should happen with the people that are just naturally gravitating towards you and just already kind of, like, you know, taking you in and taking care of you.
But you have the women's mentorship.
And that's what I was
getting. So I want you to talk about that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, because Jonathan, what happened was that I know of a lot of women that are now coming up out and wanting to go and preach, right? Yes. And it's like, it's very difficult to find, and I hate to say this, they're out there,
yeah.
but it's very mm-hmm. rare to find women that are gonna be preachers mm-hmm. that will be able to submit to their husband, that will give you sound biblical wisdom mm-hmm. and insight, and that have been doing it good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So. I opened it up because we launched a Bible school, and I said, well, I'm just going to make this available. And if anybody wants to, you know, jump in on this, and you are a full-time minister, that was the prerequisite.
Yeah.
You've got to be in full-time ministry. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to offer you. Well, the response was overwhelming. More than 100 women came on board for that. And then Jonathan announced during a Check the News that I was going to go into mentorship program for everybody. So it wasn't just going to be like a ministry related thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that sounds horrible. I am not going to give that to anybody.
I'm not a women's pastor. It's like,
I am not a mentor. I just kind of did this just to be nice so that if you had questions from the ministry, that you have somebody that'll help guide you and lead you, you know, that's done it for a long time already. But when it comes to like everybody wanting to come on this mentorship program, I just thought it was overwhelming because I genuinely care about women and about what they're doing. And when it comes to the mentorship program, it's like, do you even care? Like, if I'm giving you this information, what are you gonna do with
it? I know.
I'm pouring out every ounce of my being for you to just like stare at me and then not take the advice. That's the kind of stuff that would piss me off about mentorship.
I know. I watched your mentorship videos. I love them.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yes, that's right. You guys better be taking notes and reading your Bible and doing your dailies.
That's
you know?
It. Exactly. Yes. So what happened was he threw me in and I was like upset about it. And I was like, fine, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
And if you want to come in on this, it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for like a big club of people that are just going to pass around a tissue box and cry about how bad everything is. Like we're going to look at the word and we're going to, you know, get empowered by the word to do it, right? To walk it out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to coddle you. I'm not going to be like,
because that's not what we need.
Yeah, it's not. Mm-hmm. Coddling doesn't get, sympathy doesn't get the job done. The word of God gets the job done. And sometimes it hurts, but sometimes the truth hurts.
It does.
And if we can grow, that's all I'm looking for. It's like, let's see where we can grow instead of, you know, just continue on this decline of allowing fear and emotions to take the lead.
Yeah.
And so that's what this is. It's like, a no nonsense type of approach to mentorship program. You want to do it, you can do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But don't waste my time.
That's right.
It's like, this is what you got to do. Are you reading the word?
Yes.
Before you ask me a question, did you read the word today? Because this is what happens. It's like, I'm so fed up with my marriage. And I just, you know, I met him and we met at a bar and things aren't working out.
Yeah.
And I just, now that I'm a Christian, I hate his guts. And he's a spawn of Satan. It's like, but what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and are you reading the word?
Yeah.
Are you implementing the word?
Are you working on yourself?
Are you working on yourself?
Because I didn't know you were perfect.
Exactly. So all of these things, it's like, and what they want, what they're looking for is this like, you're justified in that. Now that you're a Christian, you should get a divorce because he's still drinking and he's not abiding
he's so godly,
by the word.
And you're unequally yoked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for that. They're not going to get that.
Yeah.
You know?
Newsflash, Christ died.
Right.
For us.
Exactly.
Like one time I was, oh God, one time when I tell you my first marriage was bad, it was real bad. So that's why I feel like I can be straight up with women if they're in a bad marriage. I'm like, I'm never going to, yes, if you're getting abused, find your local
exactly,
gun store.
Exactly.
But anyway, it was bad for me too, because I was just stirring up the strife, you know, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to read the word. You need to blah, blah, blah. And that was just setting him off, you know, but
no question.
Anyway, one day I was having a pity party in my bathroom. And I told God, first of all, I was like, can you just kill me? Because I hate it here.
Yeah.
And I was just having a pity party, just so down. And just like, can you believe he would treat me like this and all? And I have my eyes shut. And I don't know why, but, you know, some of y'all have pity parties. And it's fun to look in the mirror and watch yourself cry. I don't know why. Anyway, so that's where I was at. I'm just being real honest. Yeah. And I closed my eyes and I saw Jesus hanging on the cross. And he's like, people, you know, literally beat me. They put a twisted thorn of crowns on my head. And they treated me terrible. And I laid down my life for them. Can you not get over yourself for 5 minutes just to pray for him?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it just became so real to me that, like, Jesus suffered. And why do we think, I'm not saying that God makes us suffer.
Right.
I'm just saying sometimes the positions we put ourselves in are terrible.
Yeah.
But we can pray and we can also go to the Word and he can offer us a way of escape. But we have to go to him to get that way of escape. You know, Jesus is the door. He's going to lead us out. But yeah, that's when I realized, okay, pity parties are not going to work.
Nope.
They're not going to work.
Not at all.
So yeah, the Word is good.
It is. And it's important to know that, like, you do, if you want to get out of that mess, there's something that is required of you.
Yes, there, yes.
And if you, it's like it is with grief, like it is with anything uh-huh. meaningful in your life.
Yeah.
Like, who is leading mm-hmm. that, you know, who's spearheading that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is it your pride? Mm-hmm. Is it your ego?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the your feelings?
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, the Holy Spirit's going to check you and this is, you're not thinking straight, because as much as you want to see yourself cry and look at that mirror and have a pity party uh-huh. for yourself, that's not going to get the job done.
No.
You were a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, take onus of that
yeah.
and understand, like, there's something that I can do to make this marriage better,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it starts with you putting Christ first and understanding pride aside, I can't do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
I was never meant to do it my way, because my way sucks.
Yeah.
My way will always lead to death.
Yes.
But
yes,
if I do it the way that God intended, if I do it the spiritual way,
mm-hmm.
then that leads to life and peace.
That's right.
And so I'm going to do it God's way. And again, it's not necessarily the easiest thing.
Yeah.
Because you have to swallow your pride.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, you know, crucify your flesh, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
You've got to do
nobody
all these
things.
Nobody
wants to do that.
Nobody, it's not pleasant. This verbiage was meaningful. It was purposeful.
Yeah.
Crucifying your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that looks like? That's
that's
mutilation of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not supposed to be this, like, peachy, like, you know, walk in the park. It's like you're at war with your flesh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, out of that comes nothing good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but once you do it, then you start developing almost like, I won't say stamina, but that's what it feels like. It's like, oh, I can do this. I've done this before.
Yeah.
I've done these difficult things before.
And you recognize it.
Definitely.
Like, for me, it's like when my skin starts crawling and I'm like,
yeah.
Right. I want to say something.
Exactly.
So bad.
Exactly.
And you do, like, you know better. And then if you step out of line and you do the thing you know you're not supposed to, then you see the fruit that comes from that. You're like, dadgummit.
Exactly.
I did not want that.
Yeah.
And then the next time it happens, it's still uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you don't want that fruit.
Exactly.
And you know.
Exactly.
You're like, I'm not doing it this time.
Right.
I'm not dealing with that. So for me, it was like nagging Aaron about certain things, you know, like yesterday. We are getting ready to leave. We're late, of course. And I'm like, if I have in my head we need to be here by a certain time and we're 5 minutes late, I'm just frustrated.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I get that from my mom. So, but so we were running late and he was like, I just need 5 more minutes. I just need 5 more minutes. And he was dealing with he sells watches. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, but he's been selling watches for online, like high-end watches on eBay.
Awesome.
He buys and sells them and he's made tons of money doing that. But anyway, so he had an issue with a watch and he was trying to get it squared away. And I'm like, we got to go. And I got these two kids and they're mouthing off in the car.
Mm-hmm.
They're in his truck because we're going to take his truck because my car's dirty.
Right.
And then he's like, just take your car, just go. And I'm like, okay, well, I get them in the car. And we're like, get out the driveway, get down the road. And he calls me, come back and get me. I said, Aaron. And I hung the phone up. And then I pull in and he gets in the car. And the Lord told me, like, he's stressed out. You know, we have you guys coming. We've never met y'all.
Right.
And we want to make sure everything is good for you guys. We're also nervous, mm-hmm. you know. So he's like, Heather, he's stressed out. You know, when he's stressed out, just keep it on the low. Like, right. Keep your comments to yourself. Right. And I was like, that's right. I could feel my skin crawling, but I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do it. And then we get down the road. And I was like, what happened with that watch? He's like, don't start with me. And I'm like, dadgummit, this is the fruit that I didn't want.
That's it.
And I just stepped right in it, you know?
Yeah.
And so
it was a choice.
It was such a choice.
You made the wrong choice, Pastor.
I know, but God forgives us.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm going to get better and better.
But you know what? It's these things that you built that you know.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. Sometimes you, because you know, for me, it's not like you're living above that every single day. We're going to get there. He's perfecting those he's made holy. There's a perfection process. Amen. Do we still, you know, mess up? And I'm not saying like sin mess up,
no,
but do we still
little
things like that, that will just like, you know, you twist the dagger a little bit just to make them feel, you know, yeah, we're going to do
but
that.
But it comes back on me.
But it never
hate that.
Exactly. It never ends well. So at this point,
makes me want to cuss.
Exactly. At this point, it's like, why do it? Why do that?
I know.
You know,
exactly.
It's not beneficial. You know better.
Yeah. I think when you get a taste of peace too,
it's the best.
You get so addicted to that that you're willing to push whatever it is out the
window.
No
question.
And I don't know about you, but I know that I've grown when there's been opportunity for me to say something and I didn't say it and I was like, I can't
believe
I didn't say something.
That's a win.
I'm like, you guys ought to know.
Mm-hmm.
How honored you
I know.
Should feel right now.
I would have cussed you out in a previous life. But I didn't. And that's
catch
one of the
me
things.
On a bad day.
Let me tell you, Check the News came out of 2020.
I love Check the News.
And we've traveled far and wide. And after
tell
Check
them
the
what
News,
Check the News is.
Check the News is a program. Mm-hmm. And what it is during COVID, in order to pacify people's like emotions and the crazy that was happening, Jonathan would come on from 9 to midnight.
Oh my God.
9 to midnight.
I didn't realize it.
And he would bring address all of the headlines and say,
so
methodically,
funny.
This is why this cannot happen.
Yeah.
And it just brought like this beautiful peace and joy. It reinvigorated people and it pacified the fear. And it was like what put Jonathan on the maps, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
In our YouTube account, there was probably up until that point, 1 million views altogether within like multiple years. In 1 month, we had 1 million views just after COVID. So what took us years and years to get to, we accomplished in 1 month during Check the News.
That was
and
a God-ordained.
Yeah, so it was fantastic. But here's the thing. It was out of the box and it was very...
That's why we love you guys, because y'all are both out of the box.
He put a clip out there and somebody cursed and because it was real time. So we're like, ah! So the moment that clip popped up and somebody dropped the F-bomb, I was like, this is where we part ways with the ministry. No one's ever going to
well,
want
we're
us
done.
Back. Yeah, but that wasn't the case. It was like, it almost kind of like made it a little bit more real. It was like the approach was
a little
bit more real.
They're seeing it anyway.
They're seeing it anyway. They're inundated with it.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, all right, so we just addressed it different. We started to address things differently. And so his thing, whenever I'd travel, people would always approach me and say, we love your ministry. It's so great, you know. And after COVID, people would approach us. And it wasn't like, you know, my auntie had a miracle in your ministry or we love the preaching. He set me free. It was, there was this one quote that he said on Check the News that set me free. And I'm with you guys forever. And that one quote was, I'd like to give you a finger, but I can't because I'm a Christian. That's one of the things that, and I'm telling you,
that's
everywhere
so relatable.
We went to, that was the one quote that people took that was like, it just solidified like, hey, I can still be human, but still walk my walk out with Christ and still be holy and still be saved.
Yes.
You know, just because these thoughts come into your head, like, I would love to give you the finger right now, but I'm not going to because I'm going to rise above that.
Yes,
you know,
because I'm going to make a choice.
A choice, exactly. Mm. It was almost that reality that came alive on people that made Christianity approachable again.
Yes.
Because it's like, 100%. Whenever we think those things, it's like, I guess God hates me now.
Yeah.
And then people walk away because mm-hmm. it's like, you're not thinking the exact same way Jesus would think. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you're
I'll
not doing
you,
it.
Jesus but Jesus, I'm saying
he fashioned a whip and started, you know, connecting with people in the temple. They yeah. were, he wasn't just like making noises, like he was connecting.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? So it's just interesting to me that mindset has creeped in that like Christianity is not approachable because of X, Y, Z. It mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
You just have to work with it. And in there's a working process yeah. and there's a choosing process. Mm-hmm. But if you choose right,
yes.
if you choose God every single time, then you'll override those natural tendencies that yeah. you have. And then those choices become easier and easier yes. as you do them. Because it wasn't easy in the beginning for the both of us to have to hold our tongue. Because sometimes it's like, you deserve a verbal beatdown, you know, a verbal lashing. But now I understand, I protect my peace. Yes. I'm not going to allow myself to do that. Mm-hmm. And so you rise above it. And that's what maturity looks like
it
in
is.
Christ.
Yeah.
It's like choosing your spirit yeah, over carnality.
Yes, it's not memorizing so many Bible verses.
Girl, no.
You can memorize all you want. But if it ain't working in you.
Exactly.
What's the point?
I wish more people knew that.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to learn.
They're going to learn from you because you're going to be
preaching
about it. You got to work.
Oh, gosh. I feel like we could probably sit here and talk all day.
No question.
But it's been 65 minutes, so yeah. we probably need to let you go.
It seemed like five, Pastor.
Yes. It was great.
Thank you for having me. Ah, you are anointed. This is awesome, and the Lord will continue to use you in open doors because the world really does need to hear what you have to say.
Oh, thank you.
And so thank God that you made the choice to move in this direction and choose faith over fear because like me, mm-hmm. you think like, who cares about what I have to say?
Yeah.
The world needs what you have to say.
Amen.
Because so many people have walked this out mm-hmm. and are still walking it out mm-hmm. and your voice of truth will bring that freedom necessary to set them free.
Amen.
So don't shy away, do this more often and get
maybe,
on that
maybe
platform.
You can come back sometime.
I'd love to, you tell me when.
When it snows, hopefully it will snow next time.
Keep the snow. I don't want the snow.
Oh, you don't like snow?
No, I don't. We just came out. We just got the Snowmageddon over in Pittsburgh. We got 2 feet. Keep the snow.
I forgot about that.
No, in Jesus' name, I break that confession down.
Okay, I take it back. Okay, well, we love you guys, and thank you for joining us, and we hope you are blessed. And until next time, we'll see you soon.
See ya.